Acts chapter 26, if you get your Bible this morning. And Acts chapter 26, we're going to read verses 13 through 18. In Acts chapter 26, the Apostle Paul is giving his personal testimony before King Agrippa. And he says, "At midday, O king, I saw in the way of light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen and those things which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and the inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." Our Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that we would be sanctified by the faith that is in Jesus Christ. I pray that we'd put our faith in no other human being, no other promise from anyone speaking, that you alone are the one that holds the power of the future and can forgive our past, and it's all in your hands. God, I pray this morning as we talk about what is our duty to do as Christians, that we would be witnesses of the gospel of Jesus Christ in our own lives and in the people of those around us. So God, I pray that you would meet with us here today. You always do. I pray that you'd accomplish your will in our lives and that nothing would happen that's not supposed to happen, and that when we leave this place, we'll be better because we were here. Bless this time, please, in your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. For those, obviously, Bruce Poliquin is here, and Bruce, it's not because you're here that I'm speaking in this vein today. Around election time, those in this church know that I'm not a political junkie, but I care very much about politics and the things going on. And so the style of this message this morning, I've been preaching like this for a few weeks now and talking about how our we're always looking every 4 years for a new savior, if you will, in presidential elections and things. And I have been personally convicted that's pathetic on my part, because our Savior is Jesus Christ, and whoever is in the White House is never going to be my Savior, regardless how good or how bad they may be or how I see them. But, you know, my heart is breaking for America today, and the things that we see going on around us. I sat in my office and I thought, Lord, what is it that I can share? What is it that I can say? Because honestly, and I hope you're not like I am, but sometimes I'll go to bed at night after watching the events of the day and just be depressed. And obviously, as a Christian, we know who's in charge. We know the Lord is, and different things are going on. And I couldn't help but think of, as Paul was standing before the leaders of the day, stating his case. And there's four things that I'd like us to see, but I'm reminded that America does not deserve God's blessing. The things that we have going on around us, we can't stand before him and tell him that it's okay, because we know that it's not. 55 million murdered babies in the womb. There's no excuse for that. Gay marriage is the law of the land. There's no excuse for that. Our schools and cities have become war zones. We fight for the right to bear arms. And obviously you know that I'm a card-carrying, gun-toting, conservative Christian. I love guns. I know a preacher, really, I love guns, okay? So I've been a concealed carry person for a long, long time, and I absolutely support the right to bear arms. And if you're packing heat, I applaud your right to do that. But what bothers me is what is becoming the need to do so. And it didn't used to. It used to be we did it for the fun of it. Now we're doing it because we almost feel like we have to. And folks, that's not a good statement about society. We're losing ground. We're voting this time to legalize marijuana in the state of Maine. Really? Like, that's something we would even consider? That's pathetic. It's crazy to me, the things that we're looking for, and to quote a book by David Jeremiah, I never thought I'd see the day. I never did. So, I asked the Lord, what can I do? What is our duty as Christians? And obviously, the Bible's very clear about these things. And having said all that, I'm all done being negative. I have good news. God's on the throne. And victory can be ours. And he promised that he'd heal our nation if we'd humble ourselves and pray and beg for forgiveness. And we need to do some begging this morning. But there's four things I want you to see from Paul's testimony before King Agrippa. Stand. Say, see, and stroll. Okay, number one, stand. Acts 26 says, but rise and stand. Say that with me. But rise and stand. I have a story here. A great citywide revival swept across Philadelphia in 1858. It was called the Work of God in Philadelphia. Of the participating ministries, none was more powerful than that of a 29-year-old Episcopalian, Dudley Ting, who was known as a bold and uncompromising preacher. In addition to pastoring his own church, Dudley Ting began holding noonday services at the downtown YMCA. Great crowds came to hear this dynamic young preacher. On Tuesday, March 30th, 1858, over 5,000 men gathered for a noon mass meeting to hear Ting preach from the text, "Ye that are men, go and serve the Lord," Exodus 10:11. Over 1,000 of these men committed their lives to Christ. At one point, the preacher exclaimed, "I must tell my master's errand, and I would rather that this right arm were amputated at the trunk than I should come short of my duty to you in delivering God's message." The very next week, while visiting in the country and watching the operation of a corn threshing machine in a barn, young Ting accidentally caught his loose sleeve between the cogs. The arm was lacerated severely with the main artery severed and the median nerve injured. As a result of shock and a great loss of blood, the Reverend Dudley Ting died. On his deathbed, when asked by a group of sorrowing friends and ministers for a final statement, he feebly whispered, "Let us all stand up for Jesus." The next Sunday, Ting's close friend and fellow worker, the Reverend George Duffield, pastor of the Temple Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia, preached his morning sermon as a tribute to this departed friend. He closed his sermon by reading a poem that he had just finished writing, inspired, as he told his people, by the dying words of his esteemed friend. And I think you'll recognize the poem. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey, forth to the mighty conflict in this his glorious day. Ye that are men now serve him against outnumbered foes. Let courage rise with danger and strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him that overcometh, a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally. Stand for Jesus. Acts 26:16, but rise and stand. Not only stand, if you go on in our text, it said, upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen. A witness, a minister. Not only do we stand, but we need to say some things. Silence has gotten us nowhere. Politeness, not wanting to bother people, is not working. President Obama, a few years back, said, and I was shocked by it, you need to get in their face. It's one of his exact phrases he used when confronting the opposition. Well, I'm not forgetting in your face. I disagree with that statement. But on the other hand, our side needs to be talked about. It needs to be shared in a loving, caring way. But silence doesn't work. And I noticed for myself, and I've watched it and I've thought about this, and I think sometimes we operate as undercover Christians. And I say that by this, is that we're here this morning, and there's a certain type of language that goes on in the church family. How you doing? Great, boy, you know, I got this ache here, I need this. And, you know, we say, oh boy, we'll be sure and pray about that. As I look across the room this morning, there are some needs that God needs to intervene on. Physical needs. Found out one of our men this week is going to have cancer surgery. There's another family at home, can't be here this morning. She is dying, he is watching. Lyme disease, marriage separations. Oh, that can't happen. It happens everywhere. And those things are all going on. And as the body comes together, my Bible teaches that if one part of the body hurts, we're all hurting. You know, I stubbed my toe the other day. I heard this crunch. My wife said, what'd you break? Because it sounded like a piece of wood breaking. And it's just, I'm old and I creak a lot, you know. But, you know, that toe hurt for a while and it messed up my whole body. And I know I'm a terrific physical specimen, but that really, it got my attention. And so in church, when we're talking about these things, there's a certain amount of sympathy and empathy. There's a bond that goes on, especially for someone going through something that you've already experienced yourself. We can relate to those things. And so we have this great camaraderie that takes place in the church family that, you know what, we need each other. Do you hear me? We need each other. Say that with me. We need each other. Now, the ladies are glad to say that. The guys, not so much. You know, I don't know. I agree with that. But the reality, that's what the deal is. And so while we're in church, we have this persona that we put on. I don't think it's fake. I think it's real. But when we leave the building, what happens is now, hey, how about those Patriots, those Red Sox? You know, hey, you know, and all of them. What's the weather? You know, what's it supposed to be? And we've started talking a different language. And we seem to go into the undercover mode out there. I think that needs to stop. I think when someone's hurting, and if you mean it, whether they're a Christian or not, you know, I'm sorry to hear that. I want you to know I'll be praying for you. Now, don't you say that if you're not gonna. But on the other hand, if someone's hurting, or don't, the vernacular we're using here in church, I think we need to be saying that outside of church. I think people need to know, I don't know about you, it's refreshing to me when I speak to someone that I've never met before and we start talking and they start using a language that I recognize and I know that we have a bond in Christ. And I hear that and I'm thinking, I wish I'd said that first. They beat me to it. I'm not offended by that. And I'll tell you what, a lost world for the most part is not offended by it. And those that are need to get over it. You know, I got news for you. We were here first. They're called pilgrims. We were here first. Say something. There's hard times going on. We're so afraid that we'll say something that's offensive. And someone sent me some, you folks send me things I read and some I like, some I don't. Doesn't matter. Here's one. Hurting someone with the truth is better than making them happy with a lie. Well, that's the truth. That's the truth. Sometimes you need to love someone enough to say something they don't want to hear. You know? It's not popular to talk about certain things in politics because people don't want to hear it. It seems like the trend right now is it looks like we're going to legalize marijuana in the state of Maine. Well, you know what? That's a bad idea. And I don't care if that offends you or not. All we don't need more potheads around. We need more sane-thinking citizens. You know? Now, I understand the world's getting worse, and maybe if you were medicated a little bit, things would look better to you, but that's not the fix, folks. That's pathetic. Folks will say, well, wait a minute, I don't know, they might not like what we have. I want you to know the message of Christ has never been well accepted. Go down a little bit further, apart from our text, if you go down in verse 24, and he says, in Acts chapter 26 and verse 24, and as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning hath made thee mad. Paul, you're crazy. I think he might fit into the basket of deplorables, if I'm not wrong. Isn't that true? That's who we are. People are, oh, you're crazy, you're insane. Well, I'll tell you what, I'd rather be insane with Christ than sane without him. It's that simple. We need to stand, we need to say. Number three, we need to see. Make thee a minister, in verse 16, and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen. Open their eyes from darkness, verse 18, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. See, these are opposite forces, light, dark, Satan, God. Some of the lies that are being told out there, you can almost hear the hiss of the serpent, Satan speaking. An inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith. Open their eyes, darkness, light, power of Satan to God. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I spoke about darkness a week or two ago. I won't revisit that topic, but the reality of it is you and I, through the light of the gospel, can see more clearly things that people in the dark cannot see. Now, let's not blame them totally for what they think and the direction they're going in. Satan has blinded them. They're walking in the dark. They don't know where they're going. They're headed in the wrong direction. And the only thing that will help them is if you and I will run along beside them with the light of the gospel and say, hey, wait a second. Let me turn on the light for you. I can show you something. If they're willing to listen. And you know what? I found that people are willing to listen if your arguments make sense. I want you to know this book makes sense, folks. It works. But it's up to you and I to turn the light on. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify you in all that you do. No, that they may glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's not about me. Say that with me. It's not about me. It's about our Father. It's about who we point it to. Beck wasn't singing for herself this morning. She was singing about her Savior. Mark didn't teach Sunday school so you'd like him in Sunday school this morning. It was about our Savior. I'm not preaching here for whatever. It's all about Jesus Christ. And the light of the gospel of Christ needs to shine in a dark world. And I'm telling you what, it's getting darker. You know why? Not because black is blacker, but because the light is getting dimmer. And if the light is getting dimmer, who has the light? We do. Time we turned on the light, folks. That's on us. That's not on them. That's on us. Paul stands before Agrippa. And he said, God told me to stand. He told me to say a few things. He told me I'm going to see a few things. And how about you, boy? We're seeing some things. I don't like what I see. We need to turn the light on. Let folks see those things. Stand, say, see, and stroll. Sometimes I just want to run away. How about you? We were down in Booth Bay and got away for just an overnight. Sometimes I just want to grab my wife and get out of town, you know? Just get away and put it all behind you and I just want to hole up somewhere. Hopefully in a Marriott more than a cave, but somewhere, you know. Sometimes you just want to get away. Sometimes we need to take a walk. I was reading Vance Havner this week. And he writes in a book, it had been a good week of preaching and teaching. A mountaintop experience in more ways than one. Hearts had been blessed. Decisions had been made. We came to Sunday morning and breakfast devotions. The kitchen help always sat in on that half hour of Bible meditation, prayer, and testimony. That morning, someone asked Lena, the Negro cook, to sing for us. I can see her now. She stood there in a corner, her arms folded, and began, just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Daily walking close with thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Immediately I sensed that the Spirit was present. That same spirit we felt down in Booth Bay, Al. My eyes grew moist. I sneaked out my handkerchief and looked sheepishly around. And lo, my handkerchief was not the only one in action. The missionary nearby was in tears, and all over the crowded dining room of the Fountains of the Deep were broken up. I noticed another thing. The Presbyterians were wiping their eyes just like the Baptists. The Methodists were as touched as the Brethren. I don't know how many denominations were represented that morning, but it made no difference now. Lena's song had lifted us above our offenses and made us one. We might have argued about unification, but here was unity. Lena's song did not create it, of course, but revealed it, for it was always there. The trouble is we're so dull and carnal that we forget it. If we had spent that Sunday hour, half hour in theological discussion, arguing prophecy and sanctification or church polity, we might have gone out upset and belligerent. I do not mean that these things are not important, but more important still is a closer walk with thee. Lena sang on, I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. I said to myself, this is it. Here we sit, regulars and irregulars, independents and dependents, stay-inners and come-outers. Maybe if we could all get melted down in a closer walk with God, we'd find that we aren't as far apart as we think. This fine old Negro had struck the common denominator. We could all get together on that song. She had done in a few minutes what a week of preaching and teaching hadn't done. Maybe she ought to go around to a lot of our hot and bothered gatherings and sound the keynote as she did on the mountaintop that day. How often we fuss over what we think are important issues, and then some simple soul puts us to shame and makes scholars take a back seat. Lena sang from her heart to our hearts. We could stand a lot more of that. Too much of our worship today is from the head to the head. Through this world of toil and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but thee, Lord, none but thee. We are lonely souls in a tortured world, and dear Lord, our hearts are hungry for just a closer walk with thee. As I watch America, and my heart is breaking, it's not up to you and I to turn the tide. We have no idea what the future holds. We have no idea who's going to win in November. But I'll tell you what, there's four things that you and I can do. We can stand, we can see, we can say, and we can stroll along with Jesus Christ. And come what may, we'll be with him. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning our hearts would be towards the things of you. That you know exactly what's going on in our churches, you know what's going on in our businesses, you know what's going on in our homes, you know what's going on in our country. And Lord, we need you. We need you to bless America, and right now we do not deserve that, so I hesitate to ask for it. What we need to do first is say, I am sorry. I'm sorry for the life I've been living. I've been sorry for the things that I've been saying. I'm sorry for the decisions that I've made that you cannot bless. But you said you want to bless us, but we need to be walking with you. Lord, I don't know how the hearts are of people here this morning. I know we love our country. We love our families. But I pray that we love you most of all. That in the quietness of our heart at some point in our life, we've said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. Forgive my sins. I believe in you. Help me to trust you. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Lord, if there are folks that are here that are willing to say those words or something like that, they need to ask you to come into their heart and life as their Lord and Savior. Give them a new start. Their present life is not working and they know it. And they want to come to you. Lord, I pray right now they would say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. And then, Lord, for us as Christians, maybe we need to humble ourselves and pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked way. Then you'll hear from heaven, forgive our sin and heal our land. Maybe we need to be praying for that person we said we would pray for and haven't. And that person we said we'd pray for is thinking prayer doesn't work because nothing's happened. It's not that prayer doesn't work. We just haven't done it. We have not because we ask not. Lord, we'll open the altar. We'll give folks a chance to respond. I pray that you'd do a work on us here today, that we'd never be the same. That the lost would be saved. That Christians would come back. And that in a little way in Exeter, Maine, America could be changed. Use this time, please. We'll have an invitation. We'll baptize. We'll go home. Continue to work on us, please. In Jesus' name.